Welcome, everybody. Tonight we're in Joshua chapter 2. He is God. And this is Rahab's profession of faith. After witnessing the miracles and hearing of the mighty deeds of God and the victories of the Israelites over the Moabites. So, oftentimes we sing that hymn, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. But that is a reference to the faithful ones, both male and female, in the past. And Rahab, though a pagan from Jericho, believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, as we look at her confession that he is God, Cecil, would you open in prayer, please?
Only but doers of thy word. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's with us tonight. We pray that you would soothe each one out with a blessing, that they might have ears to hear, and Lord, that you would be honored in all things that we say and do tonight. We ask, Lord, tonight, for Brother Rick, as he ministers to us, that thy word might be clear to him, and it might come forth by your spirit and power. And Lord, we just are grateful for your precious word that you do. You're so gracious in giving us your word for our direction. Lord, we need to be more steadfast, more courageous in our daily walk. Lord, we are surrounded by the enemy, and yet, Lord, you are over all the enemy and everyone. And may it be in our thoughts tonight that you are the God of all, the one who has created, sustained us, and you are most merciful, and even bring us tonight to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for this. And thank you for Brother Bob. Think of him tonight alone in the nursing home. I encourage you, strengthen him. May your word has been heard over the years. He has strengthened. Courage tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. May each one be blessed through your word this night, we pray. For your glory and God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As Rahab was drawn to a faith in the true God, we have this biblical account of a faithful one who came to a true knowledge of God for who he is. And also this day we commemorate a faith of a similar one who was drawn out of a sinful past to a true knowledge and service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name was John Vassar. And he was a son of hardworking, prayerful parents. But young John, though he learned his parents' hard work, he had no time for prayer. He was profane and angry in his job working for his father's brick kiln. When he married at age 25, he married a young lady who was not a Christian either. And his early years were marked by a love for money. But ironically, it was that love for money that surprisingly led to his salvation. He was paid to attend a Christian revival by one of his cousins, and he came under conviction. And over the next week, he was tormented by his burden of sin and his fear that he would go to hell. When his wife was able to sleep one night, he woke her up and he said, "How can you sleep when your husband is going down to hell?" At age 28, though, he came to a reassurance of faith. He came to a conviction that God had called him out of his sin and into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he immediately developed a concern for the salvation of others. By age 37, his wife and his sons and his father had all died. He was left alone. So he went to work for his cousin's brewery, but after a very short period of time, he came under a conviction that the dangers of alcohol precluded him from continuing in that industry. He actually became a leading opponent of illegal moonshining activities in New York State. And when his life was threatened by an angry mob, a local pastor offered him a cane for defense. But he responded, "If the Lord wants John Vassar, no cane can protect him. But if the Lord does not yet want him, then nothing can hurt me." He was unharmed in the time of danger, and he continued to be a bold witness for the cause of Christ. He resigned his position at the brewery and went to work for the American Tract Society. And he boldly approached virtually everyone he met with a question, whether they were an ex-slave or whether they were the president of the United States. He would ask them, "Good friend, may I ask, are you born again?" And he went with the Union troops throughout the Civil War, oftentimes in very great danger, but he assisted the chaplains in tending to the needs of the wounded and the dying. He would assist any chaplain who demonstrated a love for Christ, regardless of denominational affiliation. And when he was captured by Confederate cavalry troops headed by Jeb Stuart after the Battle of Gettysburg, they threatened to execute him as a spy. But he continued to appeal to them to turn to Christ and to repent of their sins. It got so bad that the soldiers requested that their general release him, or else they would have a prayer meeting all the way to Richmond. So, after the war, he continued to minister to Southerners, to ex-slaves. He traveled all the way to San Francisco, urging anyone that he met to turn to Christ, to repent of their sins, and seek salvation. It was said that revival followed him everywhere he went. He continued to serve the Lord until 6 months before his death, when his pain got so severe that he was unable to travel. But even then, he proclaimed, "How much greater is this than sin?" And his dying whisper was, "Hallelujah." So we celebrate the faith and the service of John Vassar. Tonight, though, we have the faith of Rahab. And first and foremost, this is a celebration of the power and the faithfulness of God. Because the events here that we see, the fear that was struck in the hearts of the king and the people of Jericho, was a fulfillment of God's promise to Moses back in Exodus 15:15, where he had proclaimed that the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab, and terror will fill their hearts. Likewise, in Deuteronomy 11:25, he had proclaimed that no man shall be able to stand before you. And again, that terror would fill their hearts. And God brought that to pass. And the word of the great victories, the great miracles that God had done in parting the Red Sea and bringing them out of Egypt, and the defeats over the overwhelming numbers of Amorites, the kings of Sion and Moab, were such to get their attention. So as we look at this passage regarding the faith, the profession of faith of Rahab, Brother Tom, would you read this passage tonight? It's Joshua 2, verses 8 to 16.
And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sion, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, and until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way.
Amen. This passage reports the faith and the profession of faith, the boldness of Rahab, and how she also expressed a zeal for the safety and even the salvation of her family. Rahab is here identified as a harlot who dwelt upon the wall of Jericho. And though the Jewish tradition holds that she was formerly a harlot, that she had turned to flax processing and hosting visitors in her home as an innkeeper. The debate still is unresolved in terms of what the Bible tells us about her, other than that she was a harlot. But as we know, oftentimes one's past is very difficult to escape. And whether or not she was a former participant in that profession, or whether she was continuing in that up to that time, really is irrelevant, because God is able to save to the uttermost. And even Jesus himself later was criticized for associating with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. Yet he said that he came not to save the righteous, but to save sinners. So here Rahab is identified as a harlot. But we see here a unique faith that was developed in her heart by the grace of God. For as she heard the news of the miracles that God had done in bringing them over the Red Sea, as she heard of their great victories over the Amorite kings, most of the people of Jericho were terrified. They lost all courage, according to her reports to the spies. She told them that, in effect, they lost their nerve. They were fearful. They were terrified. They dreaded the approach of the several million Israelites. And yet, she had a far different response. because after she had provided for their escape, she lowered them down over the wall and gave them instruction to go into the mountain for 3 days. And then after the search had ceased, that they were then to return to Joshua to continue their journey and their mission. But here in verses 8 to 16, then we have a recap of her faith and her profession of what she truly believed. Because Rahab clearly had a fear of the Lord, a faith in the true God of the Bible. Though she was in a pagan culture full of idolatrous Canaanites, when she heard the wonders that God had done, she was convinced of his power and Godhead, even as Paul reported to the Romans in Romans 2, verse 20, that though many of the wicked fear and tremble at the notion of God, some are granted saving faith. And she had godly fear. She had a recognition, and she boldly confessed that she believed that the true God, their God, he is God. Not the man-made God of the Canaanites, but she acknowledged the one true God. And she said that he is God, not only in heaven, but in earth beneath. She recognized that he was the creator God, and that he's the sovereign God over all, and that he has a direct involvement and a direct interest in the events on this earth. So as such, she turned in faith. She boldly professed her trust in that true God. As significant as a profession as Peter would later make when Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am, and who do you say that I am?" Peter responded in faith, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord commended that faith, saying that Peter could not have made such a confession had it not been given to him by the Father. And so too, Rahab would not have recognized the true identity of this only God had it not been revealed to her by God's grace and by the Spirit of the living God. So Rahab recognizes the one true God. She boldly professes it, even though such a confession would have been a death sentence in her country, in her city. But this prompted her to further action, for she also appealed to the spies that because of the mercy that she had shown them, the hospitality that she had given, the protection that she had given to them, that she requested that they guarantee the safety not only of herself, but also of her father and mother and her brothers and sisters and their families. So she shows a true evangelistic zeal for the safety of her family. And as such, the spies responded that because she had spared their lives, that they would spare hers and her family. She had gone up to the roof. She had instructed these spies to hide out on the roof while the king's messengers came searching them. Apparently the people had seen them enter into her home and knew that the Israelites were present. But she responded that they had already departed. But she had hid them under the flax on the roof. During the summers of that time, this was the summer of 1405 BC, and it was a frequent practice for many during the summer months to sleep on the roof of their homes. And as such, she would have risked exposing them to the watchful eye of nosy neighbors. But she hid them under flax. She apparently prepared flax for processing, for commercial use, for clothing, for whatever. And she was able to hide them under the stacks of flax so that they would not be seen by observing neighbors. So thus she took great ends to protect and to preserve their lives. And then she lowered them down by a cord over the wall so that they could escape without being seen going through the city gates. And she instructed that they spend the next 3 days in the mountains. In so doing, she apparently revealed the policy of the king of Jericho, that if they were searching for an enemy, they would look for 3 days, and if they did not find them, then they would return to the city. So she advised them to hide out for 3 days, and then to go on their way when the searchers had already returned to Jericho. So this too showed showed Rahab's great faith and her efforts to preserve those whom she loved within the city of Jericho. And of course, we know that Rahab's faith was met with great blessing. God honored her faith. Even as Jesus would later witness the faith of Gentiles by announcing that he had not seen such great faith in all Israel. Such might have been said in the case of Rahab here, because she had risked her life to protect the Israelite spies. And she then took great action to help them to escape, to give them counsel as to when it would be safe to travel again. And thus, she received a pledge from them that when they came and surrounded the city of Jericho, and as they followed the instruction of the Lord to march round the city once a day for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day, that when the trumpets sounded and when the walls fell, her section of the wall was preserved. And because that scarlet cord was in her window, that she and her family were saved. But God tends to bless our obedience far more than we could ever ask or think. And such was the case with Rahab, because Rahab, a Gentile, a harlot, was saved. She and her family's lives were preserved. But even greater than that, she received an eternal reward. Her faith is recognized two other places in Scripture. She is listed in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. In Hebrews 11:31, it is recorded that because of her faith, she delivered the spies in peace. She hosted them, protected them, and thus she was not destroyed with the wicked of Jericho. And in his treatise in James 2, James notes the necessity of works as a validation of one's faith, as a proof that one's profession is genuine. That although our faith does not, or though our works does not earn our salvation, nevertheless they serve as a proof of the validity of the truth of our faith. So James 2 notes faithful Rahab, that she demonstrated that her faith was justified by her works. Thus, she clearly demonstrated that because her profession was genuine, she then took action to preserve the lives of the spies, and she sought the salvation and the lives of her family. But an even greater reward came out of Rahab's faithfulness. For though she was not in the lineage of Father Abraham, she was a Gentile. And yet by God's grace, she was grafted in to the ancestry that produced none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly birth. So Rahab was greatly honored because of the demonstration of her faith. And we celebrate her faithfulness, but the true glory belongs to God. It was his grace. It was his deliverance. It was the Holy Spirit of God which gave her the eyes to see when all of the people of Jericho trembled in fear. She responded in faith and she professed her trust. Not only her belief that it was God who would give the Israelites the land, but that she had the faith to understand and recognize that the God of the Israelites is the God in heaven and the God in the earth. So we need to recognize the faith of Rahab. We need to emulate her faith, to recognize that God still works in the affairs of men, that he is the sovereign one over the events of all of history, that he judges the wicked, and that he blesses the faithful and the obedient. She had faith to request of the spies that they would preserve her life and that of her family. And we need to trust the Lord in his sovereign protection, that he will deliver us as he has promised, that none can pluck us out of his hand, and none can pluck us out of the Father's hand, that our salvation is secure, that he has guaranteed to us eternal life. And like Rahab, we need to show an evangelistic spirit, a desire that others around us would also flee the wrath to come. Rahab recognized that the city of Jericho was in very great danger. She knew that the walls of Jericho would fall, even as the mighty armies of the Amorite kings had been destroyed. And here we see the reward for her faith. She was given the assurance, the token that she requested, that if that cord was in the window at the time that the Israelite armies came, that she and whoever was in her house would be saved. The scarlet cord, of course, represents the blood of Christ. And all who are under the blood, all who have been redeemed by his saving action at the cross of Calvary, when that great day comes, we are assured by Paul in Romans again that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are covered by his blood, then there will be no punishment for our sins. Our sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west. And we are also promised that his word will not return void. And thus, the early church, the apostles and all who followed them, even down to this day, are assured that if we carry out the Great Commission, if we proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ, warning others to flee the wrath to come, offering hope and salvation to those who need help, that God will honor his word, that he has his elect remnant in every generation, in every people, in every kindred, in every tongue, in every tribe. And he will reach the lost. All who have been given unto him by the Father shall indeed come to a knowledge of the Son. And thus we have our marching orders. We have our great commission to proclaim the good news, to warn of the coming judgment, and to recognize that there is a day appointed when every I shall see him. Even as the closing portion of that familiar chorus, he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every Knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to have the faith of Rahab. We need to have the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need the faith of the apostles and the early church. We need the faith of those who have been true to the gospel and true to the faith of the Bible, the knowledge of Christ down through the ages. May we now and always profess the truth that Rahab boldly proclaimed, He is God. Amen. Do we have any thoughts?